take our Bibles, please, and turn to, 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. We've been studying the life of King David, and there is a good period of time between David being anointed and actually becoming the king of Israel, that is, in practice. And there are many, many lessons for us to learn from his life concerning how to conduct ourselves out of adversity, in the light of opposition, in the light of displeasure. And you might recall our last study, we studied chapter 18, 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we noted how David maintained a good reputation. We noted some principles from his life that caused him to maintain his integrity, even though he was ill-favored by King Saul. Here in chapter 19, I'd like to review some principles from the life of Jonathan, and also from the life of David, how he continued to conduct himself wisely in the midst of his difficult situation. Let's begin 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. And the Bible reads, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul my father seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would now fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would glorify the Lord Jesus, and teach us and guide us, Lord, how we can walk wisely. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we do ask. Amen. How did Jonathan maintain his friendship with David, and yet he remained loyal to the king of Israel, Saul, his own father? We know that he achieved this because of the tribute that's given to Jonathan by David in 2 Samuel chapter 1. And he makes a point of stressing that Jonathan remained loyal to his father to the point of dying in battle with his own father, the king of Israel. Now, Jonathan would have known that he should have been the next one in line to be the king, following his father's footsteps. So you could very well imagine that Jonathan could have had a bad attitude. He could have been resentful. And of all people to befriend, for him to befriend David, the very man that was anointed to be king, really in his place. And here we find that Jonathan finds himself before his father, the king. And Saul makes an official announcement. And that official announcement is, you are to kill David. So now it is official. Now we know that Saul has already tried to kill David. And when you were king in that day, well, you were it. You were the final point. Nobody could tell you what to do. And really, you could do as you pleased. And they certainly did that in that day. There was no board to report to. There was no audit that took place on an annual basis. There was no accountability whatsoever. You were king. You were the last end point, and that's all there was to it. You could do as you pleased. So we find in the previous chapters that Saul makes his feelings known and he tries to kill David. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 19, we find that he assembles Jonathan, his son, and all of his main servants, and he said to them formally, "I want David killed." Now just imagine for a moment how Jonathan must have felt. How did Jonathan feel about that formal announcement? And also bear in mind that Jonathan really should have been the next heir to the throne. But God saw fit, because of Saul's foolishness, he disqualified his family line from continuing the kingship. So I can just imagine in Jonathan's mind some of the thoughts, some of the feelings he could have possibly meditated upon. And here we find in this chapter that his father formally orders the death of David. And how does Jonathan respond? Now we know that he responds in a spiritual fashion. And the lesson that I'd like for us to note this evening centers around how are we to respond when we find ourselves in difficult situations, these sorts of situations. See, Jonathan was the meat in the sandwich. He was the king's son, but he was best friends with the one that the king despised most. The Bible teaches us that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Let's take a walk with Jonathan and see if we can learn some lessons on how we can walk wisely, especially in sticky situations like this. The first lesson I'd like for us to note, and it's found from verse number 2, is that upon this formal announcement, Jonathan did not rubbish his father to David. Though he knew that his father was losing the plot. Don't you think he realized? Don't you think that Jonathan realized that poor dad, he's really not focused. He's really not on the mark. Here's David that restores integrity to our kingdom by defeating Goliath, and my father is trying to kill him. Poor dad. And as Jonathan receives the news from the king that David is to be killed, upon Jonathan's contact with David, he tells him, "My father is trying to kill you." Now, I think David realized that. But no doubt he told him, now, this is formal now. This is formally, my father has told us we need to kill you. Before it was informal activity, now it's formal procedure. And in that, David, as he received the news, as he stood before the king's son, who knows what was going through his mind? But yet, as Jonathan informed David concerning his father's wishes, we do not read that Jonathan has anything ill to say concerning his father outside of just stating the facts. He does not rubbish his father before David. Now, he could have been tempted to, especially because he knew really what his father wanted to do was just not right, not justifiable. Here's this man that kills Goliath, and up until this point, David has faithfully served the king. He doesn't rubbish him. And the first lesson I'd like for us to note from the life of Jonathan concerning walking wisely, especially in sticky situations, guard your tongue. Guard your tongue. He doesn't even justify his father's actions, does he? There's no justification here. He could have said, now, you know, my poor dad, he had a difficult childhood. And, you know, and I don't think he ever got over it. I thought maybe he did, but for some reason this situation has just sparked his something in his mind, and you know, poor dad. No, he doesn't justify dad. He allows dad to just bear the responsibilities of his own actions, his own desires. Jonathan is upfront, honest concerning what's happening. And brethren, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, in sticky situations, so to speak, I believe that we as God's people need to be careful lest we say anything that would discredit the name of our Lord. Or tear down an individual unnecessarily. See, my Bible still teaches me that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And all of us are made of the same, out of the same stuff. And all of us can be tempted to say things to lift ourselves up and to lessen another. And brethren, we need to be careful that we exercise wisdom and control our tongue. And that's exactly what Jonathan did. Now, Jonathan could have said, oh, this is so embarrassing. I just can't believe that my dad wants to kill you. This is so embarrassing. I'm sorry about the situation. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, oh, my dad, he's losing his marbles. Be patient with dad. No, he just doesn't comment. He just states the facts as this is how it is. My father's trying to kill you, and you need to go into hiding. But the main point I'd like for us to bear in mind, brethren, this evening, that we need to be careful concerning what we say and what we do not say. There is a lot that Jonathan could have said. Would you agree with that? And in fact, there's a lot that David could have said to Jonathan. He could have said, oh, your poor dad. Don't you think he's losing the plot? Don't you think you ought to whisper in your dad's ear and just tell him, look, just step down and let David be king? There's a lot David could have said, but he held his tongue at this point. And likewise, Jonathan held his tongue. And we don't read a word from Jonathan that in any way belittles the king of Israel. And I believe that Jonathan still honored his father. Beyond just being his father, he honored him because this is the king of the nation of Israel. And in James chapter 3, verse number 2, the Bible teaches us that a perfect man, a mature person, is one that has the ability to control their tongue. And you know, I've often said it. Just listen. Let an individual speak. And thereby you will see very clearly their measure of maturity. Just let them talk. In what they say, what they will not say, they will give evidence concerning their measure of maturity. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible reads, a friend loveth at all times.
Now, it's not clear, but I could take an educated guess that the king, as he gives the formal charge to kill David, would have liked for each of those men to say, yeah, let's get him, let's kill him, and let's get rid of him, king. But we don't read of that, do we? We don't read of such reaction from Jonathan, and we don't read of such reactions from the servants. So we don't find that Jonathan rubbishes the king in any shape or form before David. And brethren, the Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs that a person that is considered wise is one that has the ability to control their tongue. Just by saying less, you are conveying wisdom. Now that's easy picking. If you want to be considered a wise individual, just talk less. Respond less. Be slower to give an opinion, and you will be considered wise. So Jonathan did not rubbish his father to David, even though he knew that the king was wrong. That's wisdom. He just presented the facts and said, David, my father is out to kill you, and you need to go into hiding. Simple as that. Lesson number two is found in verses 4-6. And Jonathan now finds himself before the king once again. And it reads in verse number 4, and Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father. Now that was at a risk. How would you feel if you just gave a royal verdict, kill this man? And not long after, the one that you're wanting terminated is being praised before you. Not only by a generic soldier, by your own son. And the Bible goes on to read and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant. Now, how brave is this guy? Against David, just in case Saul wasn't on the same page. And didn't consider for some reason that didn't consider David a servant. Because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. Dad, remember Goliath? And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, Dad. You saw it with your own eyes, he said. And didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood? Ooh, now he's getting close to the bone, is he not? To slay David without a cause. Ooh. Boy, Jonathan is bold as a lion, is he not? Before the king, he said, now, Dad, not only is David a good bloke, but how could you sin against him? He that has done you so much good. Don't you remember Goliath? And don't you remember that you rejoiced at Goliath's defeat? How can you do this? How can you order the death of innocent blood? Especially of a man that has been an aid to your kingdom.
And note verse number 6. Saul has a very sober moment. In fact, he conveys some spirituality. And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. He listened to his own son. And Saul swore or vowed. In other words, he said, I believe, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. He's trying to kill him. But Saul said to his own son, I believe that as God lives, this man will survive. An amazing statement. Now this spiritual confession follows the boldness of Jonathan, to only convey positive qualities before the king. And the second lesson I'd like for us to review this evening concerning walking wisely in difficult situations is that Jonathan spoke good of David before the king. He spoke right of him because he no doubt thought right of him. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now 9 times out of 10, blood is thicker than water. Is it not? I no longer fight that fact. That's just how it is. Blood is thicker than water. It's been a hard lesson for me to learn over the years in the ministry. But yet we find a man of God. Jonathan is a man of God. And I'll say it one more time. Jonathan is a man of God. Because he is able to step aside and allow the king of Israel to be accountable for his actions and reactions. And he's able to stand aside and say, you are warranted for innocent blood because this man has been an asset to you, and why are you wanting to kill him? You know what happens 9 times out of 10? Blood thicker than water. That's just how it is. I've learned to accept that over the years. That's just how it is. 9 times out of 10, if I was to take a stand and address a family member and say, your family member has done wrong, in all probability you will support your family member. That's just how it is. I've learned to live with that. It's one of those tough things I've had to learn to live with as a pastor, but that's just how it is. Blood is thicker than water. Most of us don't have the depth of spirituality to stand apart and say, look, we all must give an account of our lives before the Lord. And whether it's a family member or not, if they've done wrong, they've done wrong. That's all there is to it. I can still love them. Do you think Jonathan still loved his dad? Of course he did. But he was bold enough to speak up and say, look, Dad, you're not doing right. And with Saul's response, I firmly believe that Saul had a moment of spirituality. And he didn't criticize his son, but he responded spiritually. And this all
took place because Jonathan spoke good of David to the king. And my friend, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. He spoke good of David because he had right thoughts concerning his father, and he entertained the right kind of thoughts of David. He spoke good of David to Saul. He not only chose not to rubbish his father, even though his father was wrong in his desires, but also he was bold enough to say some positive things about this man, and somehow God used the truth. Now correct me if I'm wrong, what Jonathan said to his father was absolutely true, was it not? So he didn't lie, didn't exaggerate, he didn't use some emotive story to try and manipulate his father. No, he just told the truth. And God used that. And brethren, when you and I just say the truth, God will use that as well. Amen. See? Just say the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And if you've got nothing to say that's truthful, don't say anything. See, you don't have to communicate in those sticky situations. If there's nothing really to be said. He spoke good of David to Saul. And lesson number three from the life of Jonathan that stands out to me concerning how he conducted himself as he found himself between the king and his best friend is that thirdly, Jonathan was transparent and open concerning his relationship with David. He didn't go into hiding and continue a close relationship with David in hiding. He was up front. Now that takes a measure of boldness, does it not? Courage. Note then verse number 7, please. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in the presence, and he was in his presence as in times past. So, Jonathan did not hide the fact that he was still good friends with David. And in all of this sad situation, Saul did not say to Jonathan, which is amazing to me, Saul did not say to Jonathan, now stay away from that person from here on. And the only contact I want you to have with David is an attempt to kill him. Now why didn't he say that? I think his conscience was a pinch active. And even though on the surface he gave the formal charge, we need to kill David, but yet his conscience probably bothered him. And he would have known that David was his son's best friend. He would have known that. And we don't read of the king saying, now, I don't want you to have anything more to do with that man. Jonathan was transparent and open concerning his relationship with David before his father the king. There was no going into secrecy concerning the maintaining of this relationship. And Jonathan boldly brought David in, as before times, into the presence of King Saul.
So Jonathan was not only courageous, but so was David. Envision the trust that David had to follow his friend into the presence of the very man that formally ordered his death. Taken a lot of courage, trust. So we see from the life of this man of God that Jonathan does not rubbish his father. Jonathan speaks only good of David. Now, I'm sure David had his faults. And the next time we study, we'll move into chapter 20 and following, and we'll find that David has a little bit of a wobble. He begins to lose it a little bit. So up until this point, he's doing great. But, like we all eventually wobble because we're flesh. But up until this point, Jonathan does not rubbish his father in the presence of David. And as Jonathan finds himself in the presence of his father, the king, he only speaks good and boldly before the king. And thirdly, we've noted this evening that Jonathan is very transparent and open before the king in relation to his friendship with David. And I say all this to say that these are principles that I believe strengthened and fueled David to press forward. Look at verse number 8, please. The 1 Samuel chapter 19, the Bible reads, "And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him." David continued to serve the king in spite of what Saul thought of him and wanted to do to him. As far as David was concerned, the show must go on. He did not negate his responsibilities. He continued to serve. That was his responsibility. And he had such a friend in Jonathan that stood by his side with great loyalty and great courage. And this, no doubt, had an effect upon David. And this enabled David to maintain his perspective. Now, when you and I find ourselves in difficulty, sometimes we can be guilty of losing our perspective and getting off track. Difficulties come into our lives, and thereby we are distracted. But this is not true of David. He just continued to do his job. How easy it is to lose our way, but yet David, because he had a friend, a loyal friend, a courageous friend by the name of Jonathan, he was strengthened, he was energized, he was encouraged to just keep the main thing. Even though my father's trying to kill you, he hasn't called for your resignation. So you continue on, David. You continue to serve and take care of those Philistines. David continued to serve in spite of what was happening around him. And may God grant us the grace. And may God give to you and me friends like Jonathan that will so encourage us and so fuel us and enable us to just keep on keeping on. And as we move on in verses 11 and 12, the Bible teaches us, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And the lesson I'd like for us to note from these verses is this. David was prepared to take warning from his wife. And just as well he did, because Saul was trying to set him up and have him killed. And David's wife said, listen, if you don't get out now, you'll be dead within 24 hours. And David was humble enough to take that warning. And my friend, are you prepared to take warning? Are you prepared to be warned concerning pending judgment? The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 that we are to warn the unruly. We are to warn those that are walking irregular, those that are not walking in harmony with God's word. They need to be warned because there is danger ahead. And the Apostle Paul said in Acts 20:31, for the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. The devil as a roaring lion is out to devour you. He's out to devour me. And brethren, we need to be humble enough and be willing to have a listening ear and take heed to warning. And David was humble enough to say, okay, dear wife, I hear you. In fact, I'm going to do something about it. And he did. And what enabled such clarity? I really believe it's because of this relationship he had with Jonathan that kept him on track and kept him sober and grave and vigilant. That enabled him to serve when it was time to serve. Enabled him to take a warning when it was time to act upon a warning. I just can't help thinking that the effect of Jonathan upon the life of David. See, evil communication corrupts good manners. Brethren, you will become the people you spend time with. Spend time with people that are not spiritual, and you will not become any more spiritual. In fact, you'll deteriorate. Teenagers, you need to spend time with spiritual teenagers. If you find yourself in the presence of a teenager that has no regard for the things of God, then you need to take the stand. And sharpen a fire. Adults, this evening, let's choose our friends. And all God's people said, choose your friends. Choose who you spend time with. You don't have to befriend everybody. In fact, you can't. Brother Wayne gave me a wonderful article on friendships, and they have scientifically proven. As much as it can be scientifically proven, nobody can really have any more than 5 real close friends. Isn't that amazing? Scientifically proven. So pick those 5 friends well. You can't be friends to 100. So let me encourage you to sing, be friendly for the most spiritual 5 people that you can find. Amen. Amen to that. And David no doubt had a good relationship with Michal. Now this is Saul's what? Saul's what? Daughter. And she tells him, tells David, my father is going to kill you. And if you don't get out, you'll be dead in 24 hours. So he took the warning. It's just so important that we spend time with people that will build us up and strengthen us in the faith. Well, the Bible teaches us that David does flee. And note where he goes. In verse number 18, the Bible teaches us, so David fled and escaped and came to who? Samuel. Remember Samuel? Samuel, the man of God. This is the man that anointed David king. Came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And the Bible reads, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. David not only continued in his service, David not only was prepared to take warning, admonishment, but thirdly, David in his difficult situation spent time with a man of God. And by going to Samuel, David made God his refuge because Samuel was indeed a man of God. Samuel was best able to advise him in what to do, the right attitudes to maintain. And David understood that Jonathan has been a friend and Jonathan has been a pillar to him, but at this particular point he just needs to get out. And David, I believe, wisely and deliberately looks for a man of God. And he shares his heart with this man of God, and this man of God takes him under his wing, and the Bible teaches us they dwell together. He spent time with a man of God. And brethren, when you and I find ourselves in difficult situations, good advice would be spend time with a man of God. Spend time with somebody that really does love the Lord and will be able to just guide you and lead you aright. Spend time with a man or woman of God. And that's what David did. He could have fled anywhere. He could have said, now that's it. I mean, fair dinkum, if you can't trust the king of Israel, who can you trust outside of Jonathan? He could have decided, well, I'm just going to go and find a little island somewhere and just do my own thing. No. David understood the fact that he needed people. He was made for fellowship. So he chose to spend time with a man that loved God, that was still serving God, that still honored God. And he found refuge and comfort in the presence of this man. And once again, I'd like to give credit to Jonathan. Jonathan was such a stable companion in the life of David that enabled David to just stay on track. That enabled David to take warning. And no doubt encouraged David to, I've got to flee, where shall I go? Well, I'll go to the top. I'll spend time with the most spiritual person I know of. In fact, Samuel, who anointed me to be king. He believed in me. He told me it was the will of God that I be king. I'm going to spend time with him. And that's what he did. That's good advice, brethren, is it not? That's good advice, brethren, is it not? I think we can all be guilty of just spending time with people that will just agree with us or take up our offense. Or take us out of the context. Think about it. What was God's will for David? Talk to me. To be the next king. He is king positionally, but he's not king practically yet. So he wisely went and spent time with the very man that anointed him king. And I would dare say that Samuel, as he spent time with David, would have continued to ignite the fire in his heart and make statements like, now don't forget, you're the next king. Don't forget, God's calling for your life. Because if he'd gone left wing and just spent time with anybody, well, what sort of advice would he have gotten? He would have taken himself out of the loop, but he remained in the loop, did he not? He went to the very man that anointed him king, and therefore this man of God by the name of Samuel, no doubt, kept David on track concerning the will of God for his life. And brethren, it is just so important that you and I, as the people of God, choose our friends carefully and seek counsel of individuals that are on the same page, that you know will encourage God's will for your life. You've got to work that out. David went to Samuel. He spent time with a man of God. He was prepared to take warning, and he continued to serve in the capacity of his calling. All of that. Why? Because he had a friend in Jonathan that remained loyal. A man that was loyal to authority, a man that was loyal to him as a friend, a man that guarded his tongue and only spoke well of him and spoke well of his authority, a man that was open and transparent before his friend and before his authority. And I have no doubt in my mind that this strengthened and this fueled David to respond spiritually. May God give us Jonathans. May God give you maybe 5 Jonathans. Wouldn't that be great? I think we'll do better. May God help us to apply these principles. May God give us all couple of Jonathans. But may God help us all to be a Jonathan as well. And all of God's people said, let's pray.